What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Inflation, the central bankers. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, watching central bankers from his roost in London. He writes political economics. And we turn to the central banker of all, Jerome Powell, in remarks these last days by Joe in the Wall Street Journal about Mr. Powell making what you'd have to say is an anticipatory speech about the political pressure that will come naturally from the Democrats especially, but the Republicans as well, in the anticipation of a recession while the Federal Reserve, using its powers, can tighten credit, that is, leading corporations to be extremely defensive about maintaining their job force and their prospects for investing in future. Contraction. Joe, a very good evening to you. Mr. Powell anticipated political events in these next days. You mentioned Sherrod Brown running for re-election in Ohio. You mentioned Elizabeth Warren, senior senator in Massachusetts. Maxine Waters, ahead of the financial, ranking now on the finance committee in the House of Representatives. Concerned about joblessness. It's not here yet, Joe, but what is the case these Democratic legislators are making to Jerome Powell, and how is he responding? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. So the issue ultimately is going to come down to what the Fed thinks it needs to do to get inflation under control. And, you know, we can talk about the details in a couple of minutes, but in the broadest contours, what's going on is the Federal Reserve's economic models tell them that the best way that you can fight inflation is to raise interest rates to the point where there is some kind of economic slowdown and somewhat higher unemployment, because they think that there is a relationship between unemployment and inflation. And the problem is that then this suggests that you are going to end up having inflation, and then you're going to wallop the public, the voting public, which is, you know, where these elected politicians get concerned, you know, wallop people with a recession or an economic slowdown or more unemployment after they've already had to deal with the inflation. And so this is really the nub of the political problem that is developing for Jerome Powell and the Fed, is that as he becomes more aggressive in fighting inflation and as he continues to signal that inflation is the primary thing that he is focused on and he is not going to rest until it is under control, I think that politicians are getting concerned that this is going to create all sorts of economic side effects that are going to be very difficult for their constituents. And of course, we know that what's bad for your constituents is bad for you if you're an elected politician. And I think that particularly because Democrats, and very liberal Democrats like Elizabeth Warren and Sherrod Brown, for various ideological or intellectual reasons, are predisposed to be kind of suspicious of what the Fed is doing. This is going to become a big pressure point for Jerome Powell. Now, right now, it looks like he is succeeding in moderating the inflation rate somewhat, although it is still way above the Fed's target, without triggering the unemployment and the recession. But I think that the concern on Capitol Hill would be, well, how far is he going to go? And will he continue with the tight policy even if you do start seeing unemployment and signs of a recession?
We need to do a little definition. Orthodoxy, you write in your column, at the central bank and university economics courses, is the Phillips curve. And the Fed right now is following that recommendation. What is it, Joe?
So the Phillips curve is actually rather a decades-old concept here that posits that there is a relationship between the unemployment rate and the inflation rate. So that as the unemployment rate goes down, as more and more people are working and the labor market is tighter, the inflation rate tends to go up. And conversely, as the unemployment rate goes up, you know, as there's more slack in the job market, as more people are out of work, as the economy perhaps even is tipping into recession, inflation will tend to go down. And underlying this is the notion that the main thing that drives inflation is actually wages. I mean, this is the old idea of the wage price spiral, you know, that was in vogue in the 60s and 70s. This idea that what happens is that workers start bargaining up their wages, and then in order to pay the higher wages, the company has to raise its own prices for its consumers, and then other people see the prices going up and will demand higher wages, and then you're off to the races. And this idea, the Phillips curve, it's hint at a wage price spiral, is deeply, deeply embedded in the way that the Federal Reserve thinks about the economy. And if you listen to a lot of Jerome Powell's comments at his press conference and conferences and other public speeches, it is very clear that really his thinking is informed by this idea. The problem is that there isn't really an awful lot of evidence for it. I mean, we've lived through the stagflation of the 1970s that showed that you could actually have high unemployment and a recession and also inflation at the same time. This is something that you weren't supposed to have if the Phillips curve were accurate. And conversely, during the Great Moderation of the early 2000s, the Fed was constantly perplexed that we were in the situation where the unemployment rate was going lower and lower, and the economic growth continued to be very healthy, and yet there was not consumer price inflation. So that ought to be giving us pause about whether this relationship between unemployment and inflation actually explains anything, whether that is what the Fed should be looking at when it makes policy. And yet it has turned out to be an enduring idea at the Fed.
Also, the Fed follows, I believe, the orthodoxy that if there's trouble, it's because of an exogenous event, which is a fancy word for saying a meteorite has struck planet Earth or a pandemic swept over our globalization for 2 or 3 years. Is the Fed also using that as an explanation for the inflation number, an exogenous event?
Yes. I mean, I think that one of the problems with thinking that is so focused on the Phillips curve and the labor market is everything else that it leaves out. So, for example, I mentioned the Great Moderation in the early 2000s. Now, of course, the thing that the Fed missed when they were very focused on being confused about what was happening in the labor market and the interaction with that and the inflation rate is that they missed the buildup of this huge house price bubble that ended up bursting in 2007 and 2008. So, you know, their models don't really have a good understanding of the financial system and misallocations within that that can be very damaging and that can have, you know, various consequences for inflation or deflation and the health of the economy. You know, the models will miss a lot of things about the supply side of the economy. The models don't have a good way of accounting for what creates, you know, what increases productivity in the economy, what creates more supply. I mean, there are a lot of variables about that that go into the Fed's model, but they don't really seem to have a good way of understanding what's happening there. So, you know, their solution when things happen that their very limited model has not predicted is to assume that this must just be a shock or that it must be some kind of economic headwind. And so this is why their explanation for the inflation of the past couple of years at first was things that they claimed had nothing to do with the Fed. They claimed it was the supply chain disruptions arising from the pandemic. You know, they claimed it was trade disruption with China or the war in Ukraine. It's because, you know, they needed some kind of explanation when the models that they were using leave out a lot of other variables that actually would have been able to predict it. You know, if you were in a hard science like physics or chemistry, and you developed a model, and then a lot of things happened in the real world that your model didn't account for, your default assumption would be that there was something wrong with your model. Instead, economists will just kind of excuse it by saying, well, yeah, it couldn't be helped. It's just an accident.
We come to the mea culpa of a Fed governor, Neel Kashkari of the Minnesota Fed, who is reflecting on how the Fed missed the inflation in 2021. This comes to, that was then, this is now. The explanation, if I understand it correctly, is that the Fed didn't take into account the supply chain and what that meant, and as you say, capital misallocation. Do we believe that the Fed has all the Fed governors have repeated the same mea culpa and they won't make mistakes again? Or are they the same, let's say, the same leaders in the dark that they were in 2021?
I think that they're still pretty in the dark. So, I mean, Neel Kashkari is the president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank, and he has been one of the most dovish policymakers throughout the cycle and was firmly on Team Transitory, which was sort of this camp of policy experts and Fed officials and commentators who thought that the inflation in 2021 was going to be temporary. And so in the first week of this month, he wrote an essay on the website Medium, where he basically said, look, yeah, we got it wrong. We should be kind of curious about why that is. And here is a very tentative idea for why that was. And his tentative idea is that the Phillips curve doesn't really explain what was going on, that there might have been problems in the economy where there was a shortage of productive capital, by which he means not just financial capital, but also things like, businesses had not invested over the years in enough, productive machinery or business equipment or intellectual property to supply all of the new demand that was developing, after the pandemic. So, I mean, this is kind of interesting because first off, it is a prominent Fed official from the dovish camp saying, hang on a sec, there are a lot of things going on here that we don't really understand. But by the same token, you know, he hasn't really worked out a complete theory for what he thinks is going on. And this is still very much outside the mainstream at the Fed, because they are very resistant to any of this, you know, what to them seems like very novel thinking about whether there are problems with their theories right now.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. We need to rush to London, where Joseph lives, because there's serial headlines suggesting that our allies are in trouble. Labor trouble, recession trouble, inflation trouble, supply chain trouble, trouble overall.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.